Matthew chapter 11. Last week, we looked at how Jesus sent out his disciples, and he gave them instruction. And here, we're going to pick up from there, and I'm going to read the portion that we didn't read for the scripture reading, the first 15 verses. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along in God's Word, Matthew 11. Now, it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Father, we pray that you would give us those ears to hear this morning, that you'd bless, that you'd communicate your word to us. We love you, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at times in our lives, in others' lives, when you feel like quitting, giving up, running away, or changing everything. And John the Baptist had one of those times. As he sent word to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Do we look for another?" Now that's really amazing when you look at John the Baptist. You look at his life. John the Baptist was a person who knew who he was. They asked him, he says, "I'm the one that it's prophesied about. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, 'Prepare the way of the Lord.'" He knew that his whole purpose in life was to get things ready for the one to come. And he knew someone was coming. He told everybody, "There's someone coming greater than I. And he is the one that you're to follow." And when Jesus came, he knew that Jesus was the one. As he told the people, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he said, "You know, the one told me, the one who sent me told me that who the Spirit alights upon, he's the one." And the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. He knew it was Jesus. He knew he was the Christ and the coming one. And he told everyone, "I must decrease and he must increase." He was a man who knew what he was supposed to do, and he knew who he was. And here he comes to a place where he's discouraged and he feels like quitting and changing things. Maybe all along I was wrong. Maybe my whole ministry was sidetracked and I was deceived in a time of discouragement. And now this is a man whom, in Jesus' estimation, of those born of women, no one greater. When it comes to human peoples, no one greater than John the Baptist. He says those that are least in the kingdom of heaven. If you're going to use a spiritual standard, then things are different. But if you use regular people standards, Jesus says that's the greatest. You can't get greater than someone like John the Baptist, who sacrificed, he went out in the wilderness, and gave his whole life for a purpose that he knew he was called to, and stood strong. And yet even the greatest get discouraged. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. John the Baptist. Should I change? Was I wrong? Should I quit? Should I give up? Think of different people in the Bible. You think of Abraham or Isaac, when things got hard during a famine, they wanted to go to Egypt. It wasn't a good move. They kind of wanted to stop what they were doing. Think about the people of Israel when they're in the wilderness and I've had enough of this manna. I want to just give up and go back to Egypt. Or you think of Joseph. I'm sure Joseph had to think like this at one point in prison. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. He didn't do nothing wrong. And then he went to prison for, again, not doing anything wrong. And then the butler forgot about him, and it's just one thing after another. I'm sure he's thinking in prison, man, maybe I should stop trusting in this God. Maybe I should stop doing the things that I've always done. Or you think of Elijah. As Elijah, such a man of faith, he'd stand before King Ahab and said, you're wrong. God's going to cease the rain. There's going to be famine until you repent. And he stood strong for so many years. And he opposed the prophets of Baal, and God sent fire down and had a victory. And then he got a death threat from Jezebel, and he ran away. He felt like giving up. And he questioned everything as he complained to God. There's no one else left. And he just felt like stopping, giving up, changing everything. Or David. When David was running away from Saul, and Saul tried to kill him again and again and again. Finally, one day he said, man, he's going to get me one day. And he ran away and he moved in with the Philistines. Not a good move. Not a good place to go. Sometimes we feel like just giving up, quitting, or changing things. Maybe this Jesus thing, maybe what I thought was the thing that God wanted me to do is not right. The very thing that John the Baptist knew was true, Jesus being the Christ, the one he was called to prepare the way for, he questioned. So first of all, why? Why did John the Baptist question Jesus? Why was he discouraged? Well, first of all, we see in verse 2, when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. It's pretty obvious that what added and what caused a lot of his discouragement is he was in prison. It's easy to get discouraged when you're in prison. And he's, as he sits here in prison, and it doesn't look like there's hope of him getting away, and guess what? He ends up dying in prison. He's beheaded. And he can see now, man, what was this all for? Was this worth it? Is this going to be my end? And he starts to get discouraged sitting in prison. And that was part of the reason why he was discouraged, because of his circumstance, because he was in prison. But there's another thing, because it says he heard in prison about the works of Christ. Jesus sent out his disciples and he himself went preaching, and word started to spread. Word got around. Jesus was preaching and teaching, and something about what John heard discouraged him, didn't set right with him. I wonder what it was. Obviously, the way that Jesus was going about things wasn't the way he expected Jesus to go about things. See, he believed this is the one, and he thought the one was going to come and it was going to change things. It's going to save the world, take away the sins of the world, and set up his kingdom on earth as the king, the Messiah. It wasn't working. He's thinking, man, okay, Jesus is starting his ministry. What is he doing? What is he accomplishing? What's changing? What's going on here? I'm still in prison, and I don't see the armies coming. I don't see the cavalry coming to save me. I don't see him really influencing or building up, stirring up a following that's going to overturn Rome. He's starting his ministry, but what is his ministry going to accomplish? So, because of his own circumstances and because things weren't going the way he thought they would, he's starting to be discouraged and to question, and he feels like quitting and changing. So, what was Jesus' answer? He did the right thing. He sent word to Jesus with his questions and his doubts. Jesus, I feel like quitting. Are you not the one? Should I not follow you? Should I change things and go live a different life and follow someone else or something else? Taking his question and his doubts and his discouragement to Jesus. That's a good idea. When we feel like quitting or giving up, go to Jesus honestly. That's what David does in the Psalms. God, are you just totally not caring about me? He was honest. And he poured out his heart and he brought his pain and his problems and his doubts to Jesus, to his God. And he got answers. What was Jesus' answer to John the Baptist? In verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus saying, go tell John that I'm helping people. I'm helping people. I'm loving people. I'm reaching out to the poor and the lame and the blind, and I'm helping them. I'm making a difference. Now, I think this communicates two things to John the Baptist. One, Jesus is doing something that's good and right. Jesus isn't promoting himself. He's not going out and making money. He's not doing something that's not right or good. He's really making a difference in a tangible, good way. You can't argue with that. You can't say, Jesus, you're preaching to the poor, you're healing the blind, that's a bad thing. You can't say that. That's a good thing. And John would say, well, it's not what I thought you were coming to do, to go out, you know, in leper colonies and go help people. But that's not a bad thing. But two is, see, Elijah, prophesied, he was the spirit of Elijah, but John the Baptist knew about the prophecies of the Messiah. He was prophesied to come as king, but he also was prophesied to come and preach to the poor and give sight to the blind. So that's the other thing John the Baptist would have gotten from this. Is he the one? Well, he's fulfilling the other prophecies. Seems to fit. So his answer, I'm helping people. Tell them what you see and hear. And then look in verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. His answer to John the Baptist. I'm helping people. I'm fulfilling prophecy. And John, those that are not offended because of me, those that see the way I'm doing things and don't oppose it, but get on board with it, those people are blessed. That was the message to John the Baptist. John thinking, I don't like the way you're doing things, Jesus. You know, those people that accept the way I do things, oh, they're blessed. They're blessed, John. It's my way. It's a good way. And those that don't oppose it and are not offended because of it are blessed. So for us, we're discouraged. We go to Jesus. We look at the effects of things when it's hard. What has God called us to do? Is it a good thing? Does it have a positive effect on somebody, on someone around us? That's all that really matters. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be a great thing, a fun thing. If it has a good effect, our life. And God never calls us to do something that has a bad effect on people, that turns people away from the Lord or doesn't do good. And then the challenging question, are we going to let God do things his way when we're discouraged? Because that's kind of the clash. You know, the breaking point that God was, you know, that God had John at. Are you going to just allow it to happen the way that God wants? If you die in prison, John, and Jesus never takes the throne and overthrows Rome, is that going to be good? Are you going to be able to accept that? Because it's interesting, Jesus was going out preaching and helping the lame and the lepers, but he was really laying the groundwork. He was really in the midst of changing and saving the world. The effect that he was having on the world was far greater than John could understand. He had a more tangible impact on humanity, on humankind, than any character in history. And these people that he was preaching to, and this life, and this groundwork he was laying, and the direction he was headed to die on the cross was going to change things. And when he rose from the dead, the human race would never be the same. But John couldn't see that, and Jesus was really asking him, if it doesn't work out the way you want, and it remains hard, are you willing to accept that? Because if you are, oh, you're blessed. It'll be good. That will be a good choice. And that's the turning point. That's what God wants to know from us. And he'll purposely make things happen in our lives to bring that out. He doesn't want to just say, yeah, you can do it your way. He wants to prove that you're willing to let him do it his way in your life. So we all have these questions. But this isn't the way I thought my life was going to happen, God. That's what he wants to bring you to. But, and he wants to bring you to that point, if this is your way, I'll accept it. Continuing on, we're going to look at a few other things as we continue. The things that discourage us sometimes. As we look past John the Baptist, Jesus used John the Baptist as an illustration to speak to the multitudes. He says later on in the chapter in verse 16, he says, "But what shall I liken this generation to?" He says, "It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We mourned for you, and you did not lament.'" Jesus saying, you know, this generation, you won't dance. You're not affected by the message. And he goes on to say how John the Baptist preached to you, and you wouldn't hear. You weren't affected by John the Baptist. You said, "Oh, he's a demon. He's a little too crazy. He's out in the wilderness and doesn't eat and drink, and he's eating wild bugs and honey." Maybe if John the Baptist was a little more mainstream, then we would listen to him. If he was a little more normal, maybe if he wore normal clothes and he mingled with us a little more like us, then we could hear him. Jesus says, "But then I came, and I got right in there with you. I ate with the tax collectors, and I was very, very down to earth and normal." And then you say, "I'm a wine bibber and a glutton." So, well, maybe if Jesus was a little more conservative, we would, you know, accept his message. And Jesus is frustrated, saying, you know what? This generation doesn't want to hear. It doesn't matter how the message is presented to them. They don't want to listen. And that's something that can be discouraging. And I relate to this. I think about my generation. How do you reach them, man? They just don't seem to want to hear. And you say the right things and you do the right things, and it seems like nothing works. Nothing, they're just, they don't want it. That's what it seems like. And Jesus was frustrated at that time. He said, no. And you think, is it me? Maybe if I change and go about it in a different way. But Jesus saying at the end of that section in verse 19, "But wisdom is justified by her children." He's saying, let it play out. Let it play out. You know, John the Baptist doesn't need to be more mainstream. I don't need to be more conservative. We'll just see what happens. You know, be yourself. Be who God created you to be. Don't try to please the people. But Jesus, frustrated, nothing seems to work with this generation. Nothing seems to work. And I feel the same way about our generation sometimes. Nothing seems to work. You can tell them that judgment's coming. They say, "Oh, you know, you're hateful and judgmental." You can tell them that Jesus loves you and he wants to help you. And they can say, "Oh, I think it's not as fun as the world." And it doesn't seem to matter how you tell them. Or what type, in Michigan, what kind of, do we need like a real, you know, revival, Pentecostal kind of a movement? Do we need like a real, you know, back to the basics, Bible kind of, what is going to reach him? What way can we reach him? And Jesus saying, nothing seems to work. It's discouraging. Taking the examples of John and Jesus. And then he says, as he begins to rebuke the cities, he turns to a few cities and he rebukes them. He says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Another thing that frustrated Jesus. These cities that seen these miracles, Jesus himself in the flesh, coming to these people, healing their sick, doing miracles in their midst, and they wouldn't repent. And he says, man, judgment is going to be very severe for these cities. Judgment is going to be very severe for these cities. You ever read the Old Testament about some of these prophets? And their whole message, their whole life's goal was to preach, judgment is coming. But how do you deal with that? How did they deal with that, those prophets? They're saying, man, no matter what you do, this city's going to fall. Judgment is coming. That can be discouraging. And Jesus telling these cities they're going to be judged, and I feel like that sometimes. Judgment's coming to this country, to our area. And it seems like, you know, we're moving from a Christian nation, and the facts and the truth are we were a Christian nation. And we're moving to a post-Christian nation where everybody doesn't want to be Christian. That's what the general population in our country does not want to be Christian. That's intolerant. So we want to redefine what right is and who gets to choose. The people? It's not a good idea. Look at what sells. They get to choose what's right. We're in a world of hurt. The politicians? But they don't want God to choose anymore. They don't want the Bible to be the standard. And we're moving from Christian to post-Christian, and judgment's coming. And, you know, out of a lot of nations, we're going to have a severe judgment. Because God's protected us and blessed us for many, many years. And the truth is available. We've got churches on every corner. And God's Word, we've got hundreds of versions. And we can get our radio. We have 6 Christian radio stations. There's so much access. There's so much availability and freedom. We can worship Jesus. We can publicly worship Jesus. And here, the nation refuses to repent. Man, I feel like judgment's coming. I care. I want to reach out to people, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, no matter what happens, judgment seems like it's coming. Unless there's a drastic, radical change. I haven't seen any hope of, as a nation, us turning back to a Christian society where we go back to the Bible, where the laws are looking to the Bible for what's right and wrong. I don't see that. And judgment's coming, and that's what Jesus said. You guys are going to be judged, and you're going to be judged severely. Because I was there. I did the miracles for you. And I believe America's going to be judged severely. But all of this said, it's kind of discouraging. You relate with John the Baptist in the prison. So what is our message? Judgment's coming. That's what we go out and tell America. Tell our friends. And then even if we try, nothing seems to work. We try to tell them judgment's coming. We try to tell them Jesus loves you, but nothing seems to work. Don't worry, this isn't the end of the message. Jesus, as he said, this generation doesn't seem to listen. They're like children, and the children plays the flute. They don't land. No matter what you do, it doesn't have the effect that you would assume. And then these cities are going to be judged because they refuse to repent. But then it seems Jesus takes a pause after verse 24. And then it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said. He kind of responded from all these truths. And one of the commentators I read said in the Greek that word answer kind of implies that the answer really came from the Lord, from his Father. It's almost like Jesus preaching the judgment to come, that the generation refuses to respond, and then he kind of like pauses and prays. And then he addresses the multitudes again. Look in verse 25. Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Jesus told a story once about a man who threw a wedding feast. And he told his servants, go get the guests, those who were invited. And they went and says, it's time for the wedding feast. Come on, guys. And they said, we don't want to come. We're busy. We've got stuff to do. And they tried to urge them, and they beat the servants and killed some of them. And the one who threw the wedding feast was angry. He said, he went out and destroyed those men, and he said, we're still going to have a wedding feast. Go out in the highways and invite everybody, good and bad. Go get the poor people, those that are sick and hurting, and invite them. And they did. And they came, and the wedding feast was filled. Jesus is encouraged by this truth. He looks past the cities, the nation, the generation that refuses to repent and accept Jesus. And he looks at the individuals, the kids, the blind and the poor. You can see him there in those cities in Chorazin, where the whole nation and the city refuses to repent. And you can see there a man, maybe a man who was blind that he just healed. Dirty clothes, kind of rough looking. Not much of an education. No one thinks he's much, but he's got a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye because he believes in Jesus. Because Jesus saved him. And Jesus, looking past the generation in the city, looks at the individuals and said, oh man, I like your way, God. Father, I like that, you know, the people that the world say are important can't understand you. But you make it so simple that the babies can understand you. The kids, the poor, and anybody can have access to grab hold of this and to understand this and to receive this. So Jesus is encouraged. as he looks at the individuals. And he continues to reach out to the poor and the leopard and the blind and lame and the babies, the young, preaching truth, and they're receiving. And that's encouraging to us. You know what? Our nation might be on the way to receive harsh, strict judgments. And you know what? It's a reality that's true in Scripture. The world will reject Jesus. Always has, always will. Always will. The world, the Bible says Jesus came to his own and his own would not receive him. But to those who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. The world will always reject Jesus, but individuals will always believe, will always receive. So we can have hope in this generation, in this city, in this nation. And we can look and reach out to individuals. Because Jesus can save you. Because Jesus is the hope for the individuals. And there's a lot of hurting people out there in the midst of this generation, in this nation, this post-Christian nation, that are hungry and that can understand and that can receive. And that want to be, they want hope. They want help. They're blind. They're bound. They've got a broken heart. And Jesus is the answer. So God, Jesus says, I thank you, Father. I like your way. That the hurting poor people, the babies, can receive it. Then he says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Here's something that can help us. Jesus says, no one knows God. No one knows me. But the ones to whom I will to reveal the Father, they will know him. See, it's God's choice. As we look at the world and the generation, nothing works. They don't want to hear it. The nation does not want to repent. But that's kind of God's responsibility, the results of us preaching the gospel and the truth. Is the results are God's responsibility. And the reason why the world doesn't want to repent is because they don't know God. They don't know what he's like. They don't know him personally. That's the reason. The reason why the generation can't respond because they don't know. And yet, Jesus is going to pick some, and it's up to Jesus, and he's going to reveal himself. When someone knows Jesus, they want to repent. They want to turn to him and receive him. So that kind of takes a weight off our shoulders. We don't have to go and change the world. We go and preach the good news, and God is responsible for the results. The one to whom the Son wills to reveal, those are the ones who will receive. One more point, and then we're done. The last three verses. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus just got done saying, this generation doesn't want to hear. No matter how you say it, they don't listen. And these cities will not repent. And yet he keeps preaching. He keeps reaching out. And he says, come to me. And he cries out to those that have a heavy burden, those that are burdened down and weary. And, you know, in essence, he's saying, the world will not receive me. And yet, is there anybody out there who's tired of the world? Who's had enough? Who just feels like they want that burden on their shoulder lifted? Does anybody want help? Come to me. Open invitation. Doesn't matter what generation or what city or what nation or who you are. Come to me, Jesus says. And he doesn't say that you'll never have to carry burdens anymore. He says, let's carry them together. He says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke, you know, was a device that hooked up two animals. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hook your life up to me. We'll do this life thing together. We'll take these burdens and trials that life has to offer, and we'll take them in stride, one step at a time, together. And man, if you're hooked up to Jesus, you got a lot of power to plow through whatever life throws at you. And he says, my burden is easy and light. It's because he does all the work. You just got to hook up to him, trust him, stay close. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. We're trying to press through this life on our own. It'll never work. And it's hard. And it's wearying. It's discouraging. Even as Christians, we try to go and evangelize and change the world, and that's a hard task. We try to stay strong to what we know God's told us, and we can get discouraged. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hook up to me, stay close to me, and let's do this life thing together. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you. Are you willing today, no matter what way Jesus wants to do it, to hook up with him? That close, you think about a yoke, you can't get out once you're connected. Are you willing to yoke up with Jesus, trust him, and do it his way, follow him through life? Message, just don't get discouraged and quit and give up. Go to Jesus whenever you feel like changing everything. Trust him. Please stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the hope that you offer in the midst of discouragement. As we face in truth the things that are discouraging around us, we realize them, we label them, we identify them, and then we go to you for the answers. We trust you for how it's all going to work out. We don't know the future of our generation or nation, and it looks bleak spiritually. And yet we trust you, Lord, that you have a good plan, and we rejoice that you want to save people here now. Lord, I pray that you'd stir in our hearts an excitement to go spread the word, that in the midst of this time, people can get their burdens lifted, people can have hope, people can find eternal life and salvation in the person of Jesus. You've saved us. Help us not forget that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that the Lord would bless you and encourage you and strengthen you throughout this week. All the things that get you down and discourage you, that you take to him, you find strength as he leads you. Be blessed. Have a good day. God bless you.